This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Apocalypse Now, the U.S. and Israeli Master Plan for the Middle East, Part 3, The Annihilation of Lebanon. During his speech before Arab foreign ministers on Monday, August 7th, Lebanese Prime Minister Fuad Sinoura broke into tears twice. He said, "The Israeli army has left no bridge standing, bombarded hospitals and United Nations posts, all for the sake of revenge." "We know," Sinoura added, "that we are not the only ones facing this catastrophe, as our brothers in Palestine and Iraq are also suffering under the occupation." This, he stated on Monday, is the 26th day of the Lebanese Holocaust. Israel is committing state terror. He cited the killing of some 1,000 civilians, a third of them children under the age of 12. 1 million people, more than one-third of the Lebanese population, is displaced. Terrible massacres are taking place throughout Lebanon. In fact, what Fuad Sinoura, the Prime Minister of Lebanon, is describing is the annihilation of Lebanon. Today on Taking Aim. Ralph?
Well, it's a particularly important point to make about who is Prime Minister Fuad Sinoura, because we have to bear in mind that when Rafik Hariri, the prior prime minister who was assassinated and who had actually been a man who made his fortune in Saudi Arabia in the construction business and was well tied not only to the Saudis but to the United States, but when Rafik Hariri had refused the U.S. demand that he permit a major U.S. base to be constructed in the north of Lebanon, not far from Tripoli, and in a direct line of target and attack for Damascus, he refused. His subsequent assassination was quickly attributed to the Syrians themselves without a scintilla of evidence for this. In fact, the operation bore all the earmarks of the Mossad's series of assassinations. And that was the basis for the so-called Cedar Revolution, the United States demonizing of Syria, and the driving out of Syrian forces from Lebanon at the advent of the U.S.-picked Fuad Sinoura. It has particular significance that the devastation of his country, for which all of this was but a preparation, has compelled Fuad Sinoura, faced with the vast and enraged mobilization of his own citizens, to speak not only the truth about the nature of the Israeli occupation, but in shocked disbelief, to bear witness to the fact that Lebanon is targeted not just for destruction and devastation, but for annihilation as an organized and socially cohesive society, for its sovereignty to be destroyed, for the territory to be annexed, for the population to be driven out, for it to be emptied of human habitation prepared for occupation in the precise manner in which all of Palestine was cleansed ethnically with the Zionist settler operations of 47 and 48.
Sinoura's comments, his plea, his cry, came on the heels of the remarks of the Lebanese president, Amir Lahoud, who issued a statement last Friday that Israel is waging a war of starvation on Lebanon, on the Lebanese people. His comments came after the Israeli warplanes had bombed bridges and roads in Christian neighborhoods north of Beirut, Lahoud representing one of the Christian parties. These raids killed 5 people and made travel between the Beirut suburbs impossible. The missiles had struck the country's main north-south highway, the primary artery of Beirutis, to the outside world, through Syria in the north. Lahoud stated, "The Israeli enemy's bombing of bridges and roads is aimed at tightening the blockade on the Lebanese, cutting communications between them and starving them. He added, "Today's air raids confirm that Israel is trying to compensate for its losses, for the losses of its army in the south, by cutting off the only coastal highway remaining to transport aid to the displaced people and refugees and supply the country with oil, products, foodstuffs, and aid." And then Lahoud said, "Israel's bombardment aims to impose conditions that have been rejected by Lebanon. It is a war of starvation launched by Israel against Lebanon. It is an aggression that has exceeded even Israel's declared objectives." And then he stated unequivocally, "Israel has now decided to destroy Lebanon."
He also states that this entire campaign of devastation is to coerce Lebanon's acceptance of a ceasefire, which not only includes the disarmament of any resistance in Lebanon, but indeed allows for an entire area of Lebanon to be occupied by the Israelis in place. The Arab bourgeoisie, compelled to acknowledge the agenda for the destruction of Lebanon en route to Syria and Iran. And here is Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa, a figure known for his collusion with the United States, who stated the following: "Israeli attacks are an attempt to demolish Lebanon completely. It has nothing to do with the crushing of Hezbollah." Moussa spoke in the Egyptian capital of Cairo and said it is the United States that is behind Israel. He stated in that the wider Arab audience, the population of the Middle East, have understood fully what is at work in Lebanon. Linked with the Middle East and the Israeli agenda, he asserted that this is a program of total destruction for Lebanon and ultimately the region. And he stated, "We understand the U.S. support for Israel, and this support is what is responsible for intensifying the crisis." Abu Musa, in behalf of the Arab League, stated, "There is no point in talking about issues that were previously discussed." And indeed, Hosni Mubarak was compelled to make a statement in the face of the fact that mass demonstrations have erupted in Egypt. And this time the demonstrations are carrying huge banners of Gamal Abdel Nasser and photographs of Hosni Mubarak with a Zionist Star of David on his forehead, and a mobilization in defense of Lebanon and Palestine, and a call for the mobilization of masses throughout Egypt and the Arab world. And Mubarak was compelled to say, "We see that Israel is targeting the whole of Lebanon. It has been 3 weeks since it launched its plan to destroy Lebanon." Mubarak, speaking the language of Abu Musa, the Secretary General of the Arab League, said, "Popular reactions and statements show the Arab world is in unison. The destruction of Lebanon must be halted. We have here the mass mobilizations in the streets. One-third of Arabia is a Shia population in the oil-producing areas of Arabia, mobilizing in the Gulf. 1 million people have mobilized in Iraq. Not just the Shia population, but the president of Iraq, the puppet president, Talabani, a Kurdish Sunni, has declared the same, that the destruction of Lebanon and the occupation of Israel of Lebanon is a war against the peoples of the region. He has denounced it. The radicalization is unfolding."
Let's look at the Israeli actions, the Zionist actions in Lebanon. All of Lebanon is being shelled. The entire south, Mount Lebanon, the Bekaa Valley, Baalbek, Hermel, Acre, Tripoli in the north, Jubai, Kesserwan, Matan, Babda. In the Associated Press released an article by Sam Gaddis on Monday, "Israel intensifies airstrikes in Lebanon." And in this one article, I noted over 20 towns and cities throughout Lebanon that are mentioned in this one particular article about Israel warplanes intensifying airstrikes and launching new commando raids throughout Lebanon. And let's look at some of these places. Israeli warplanes repeatedly bombed Beirut's suburbs while naval gunships fired artillery shells from off the coast of the Mediterranean. Then, 7 people were killed when a missile hit a house in Qasmiyah on the coastal north of Lebanon's port city of Tyre in the south. Then there's Ata al-Shab, 50 people covered in rubble, and Taibi, five kilometers away, where a house was destroyed. This is 5 kilometers from the border, and Ata al-Shab is 2 kilometers from the border of Israel. And then an apartment complex in Tyre, and an ambulance driver, Shadi Jridi, said he got a report of 5 people killed. Then in the villages of Haruf and Dwir, 4 people were killed in a raid that destroyed a house in Kfar Tebnet. Then there's Razia, where several houses were destroyed. And then Rasaniya, where, again, bodies were pulled from the rubble. The market town of Nabatea, office buildings were targeted, and a house of the Shiite Muslim Grand Ayatollah Mohammed Hussein Fadlallah. Then Jibshit and Tul, and also Nakura on the border, and Ras al-Biyada also on the border with Israel, as was Ata al-Shab and Taibi. And then Ras al-Biyada, where there were actually ground battles between the Hezbollah resistance movement and the Israeli IDF. Again, then moving to the Bekaa Valley, the northeastern region of Lebanon, 4 explosions in Baalbek, 60 miles north of the Israel's border, where large factories of construction materials were destroyed, again, south of Baalbek. And we have the Rosh Yaya region, farther south on the corridor linking the southern regions with the Bekaa Valley. The road near the Beirut border post at Masna on the Beirut-Damascus highway, again, attacked, as have been almost all the roads in Lebanon, making Lebanon impassable for trucks and even for cars. The Israeli Justice Minister Chaim Ramon had said that Israel still had military goals and would continue its attacks. And we will be going into more of the comments of the Israeli administration, the leaders of the Zionist state. Again, pushing further into southern Lebanon, we have, again, attacks on more border villages, Rub Thalathin, Dibal, and it goes on and on. And these are just the towns and cities mentioned in one article on one day. Yesterday, Monday, Israel intensifies airstrikes in Lebanon, Sam Gaddis, Associated Press writer.
That is the context for the article of Reuters on Sunday, August 6th. Rice says UN resolution won't end all fighting. What is this so-called ceasefire resolution? It's a resolution that calls for Israeli forces to remain in place. It calls for Hezbollah to be disarmed. It calls for Israel to stay in Lebanon up to and including the time when so-called international forces are put into place, which will only occur after the disarming of Hezbollah. Bush's National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley confirmed that the object of the exercise was to eliminate all resistance in Lebanon. And Rice stated, "This does not mean that there will be an end to fighting. These things take some time to wind down," she stated. "We are dealing with a problem that has been festering and brewing in Lebanon now for years and years and years, so it's not going to be solved by a resolution in the Security Council," Rice said. Now, what is it that's been festering and brewing in Lebanon? Is it the annihilation of the population of Palestine? They're being driven out through ethnic cleansing into Lebanon. Is it the devastation of Lebanon from 48 through 73, through 82, through 96? No, the festering problem is not the Zionist state's ethnic cleansing. The festering problem is a resistance to occupation. The festering problem is the fight back of a besieged population. That is what they want to destroy. Rice and Hadley stated that a halt in violence will not occur in that the Hezbollah has not yet been disarmed, and Israel has refused to withdraw its 10,000 troops. And here we have the real meaning of this UN cover for the Israeli master plan, the imperial master plan for the annexation of Lebanon after its physical destruction. Here we have the Prime Minister of Israel in Haaretz on August 7th. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert stated that the Israeli Defense Forces have no limitations in the fight. He said, we will stop the Hezbollah. We will destroy the Hezbollah. And what's instructive about this is that the Prime Minister of Israel was accompanied by Defense Minister Amir Peretz, Ministers Eli Yishai and Rafi Eitan. Now, as well as IDF Chief of Staff Dan Halutz and several generals in making these declarations. It's important, I think, at this moment to look a bit at who is Rafi Eitan. Rafi Eitan is the figure who organized for the Mossad the hijacking of the Italian cruise ship Achille Lauro in 1985, an organized effort by the Israeli Secret Services attributed to the the PLO. Ari Ben Menashe, a former special intelligence advisor to Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir in his book The Prophets of War, documented this false flag operation. Eitan's methods entailed the hijacking of a pleasure cruiser targeting the Jewish participants in the pleasure cruise, throwing off overboard Leon Klinghoffer, the elderly Jewish man in a wheelchair, and ascribing this to the Palestinian population. It is Rafi Eitan who ran the spy for Israel, Jonathan Pollard, and as was reported in the WorldNet Daily on February 22, 2006, it is Eitan who stated to the wife of Jonathan Pollard, Esther Pollard, that he would personally have put a bullet through the head of Jonathan Pollard to shut him up. Quote, had I been at the embassy when Pollard came to seek asylum, I would have put a bullet through his head and there would have been no Pollard affair. Stunned, the wife reports, we stared at Eitan as he continued. Next day, I would have seen to it that the news report stated that an American intruder had attacked a guard at the Israeli embassy, no mention of any spy affair, and that in the shuffle a gun went off and the American was killed and there would have been no Pollard case. That's the only thing I'm sorry about. That is Rafi Eitan.
Ralph, we should state that Rafi Eitan is no relation to the general, the former Israeli general, Rafael Eitan, who was also called Rafi. Rafi Eitan is one of the most famous of the spy masters in the Zionist state.
And in the United States.
And he is now a minister of pensioners. Since he's retired, he is running on a political party called the Pensioners Party, and he is very close to Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and he accompanied Olmert, as you said, to visit the Northern Command on the border between the Zionist state and Lebanon. Let's look at some of the comments of the Defense Minister, Amir Peretz, who is leading the destructive battle ahead. As Peretz told the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, as quoted again in this article by Aleph Ben in Haaretz that you cited, we are at one of the most decisive stages of the war. And Peretz, meeting with the top defense officials, stated that the air and the ground attacks in Lebanon will expand, will broaden, and there's going to be a push up to the Litani, the 18 miles into southern Lebanon that we have been reporting week after week would be the intent of the Zionist forces. As one officer said, "We are now in a process of renewed escalation. We will continue hitting everything that moves, and we're also going to hit the strategic civilian infrastructure." Just as the Prime Minister and the President of Lebanon were saying, everything is being destroyed. And as one IDF official said, it could be that at the end of the story, Lebanon will be dark for a few years.
Well, let's look at what that statement means. I'm going to cite a couple of more of these remarks by the leadership of the Zionist state. Dark for a few years means the following: the destruction of all electricity and electric power in Lebanon. What dark for a few years means, brothers and sisters, is no hospitals, no food production, no communication system, no road system, no organized social existence in Lebanon. You eliminate electric power in Lebanon, the water system doesn't work, the sewage system doesn't work, the food distribution system doesn't work, the industries don't function. The population has no means of withstanding the blockade. They starve to death. They are targeted for annihilation and for elimination and removal. Not just death and devastation in Lebanon, but the ethnic cleansing of Lebanon preparatory to its occupation permanently annexed by the Zionist state, as has been their declared intent since the 1930s. Peretz, we will strike wherever and whenever needed. Stern warning, and this is a report in Adiot Aharonot and in its online news service Ynet. Defense minister vows to operate anywhere in Lebanon. Amir Peretz warned that he has issued an unequivocal order to operate anywhere in Lebanon. We will operate anywhere. We will take over everywhere. He toured the north on Monday along with Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and he reiterated, and during the Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee meeting, Knesset member Dani Yatom, the Labor Knesset member, declared that rocket attacks would not end after the IDF reaches the Litani River in Lebanon. The Litani River is only the interim northern boundary intended by the Zionist apparatus. When we are on the Litani, rockets will continue to fall, so we will continue to target Lebanese national infrastructure and not only so-called Hezbollah targets. It is Lebanon that is guilty. It is its infrastructure that must be hit. We are done with Hezbollah agents. It is now that we go on to hit Lebanese targets, its infrastructure, its governmental symbols. This is the declaration made in the presence of the Defense Minister of Israel by the Deputy Knesset member Yatom. The IDF, and this is the statement by Knesset member Effi Aitam in the presence of the Defense Minister, must move into any needed range. The deceptive and pitiable Lebanese government cannot impose conditions on us. Lebanon will pay the price. This is a declaration of genocidal intent.
Ralph, this is put forward in its true meaning by Benjamin Netanyahu, the former Israeli prime minister, who said that a proposed buffer zone in southern Lebanon won't be enough to stop Hezbollah rockets, just as you report from the other Israeli ministers and members of the Knesset. Quote, "The buffer zone is a very partial answer because they can fire rockets over that," referring to Hezbollah. And Netanyahu, who is now the chair of the Likud party, said these comments in London when he was being interviewed by Bloomberg Television. "It's the destruction of the missile arsenal that's important, and what that means for the Zionist state is destroying the infrastructure, because according to them, the missile arsenal is integrated into the life of the Lebanese people."
Maya, the master plan, the Imperial Israeli master plan that is being spelled out here, long in preparation and now openly being avowed, was spelled out and clarified in the Financial Times by Harvey Morris in Jerusalem on August 3rd, vowing that Israel will respond to any, quote, aggression, unquote. Ehud Olmert, prime minister, brushed aside accusations that he had overreached. In fact, he stated, Syria and Iran must take notice. We have responded in such a manner that it will be registered in the collective memory, not just of Lebanese, but of the nations that have plans of attacking Israel. They will know that our response will be very, very, very painful. We reserve the right to respond to this aggression even after the international force has been deployed in place. That's the meaning of the ceasefire operation, brothers and sisters. The United Nations is simply the handmaiden of the Israeli imperial design run by the U.S. and Israel. And indeed, the intent here has been elaborated in Haaretz on the 6th of August when Olmert attacked European leaders for slamming Israel's offensives. The story carried in Haaretz and by Reuters. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told European leaders, stop preaching about civilian casualties. In an interview published on Sunday in the German newspaper Welt am Sonntag, where do they get the right to preach to Israel? Olmert said when asked about criticism over Israel's military operations and their heavy civilian toll. Quote, European countries attacked Kosovo and killed 10,000 civilians, and none of these countries had a single rocket aimed at them. 10,000 Albanians died in the bombardment. I'm not saying it was wrong, he said, but don't preach to us about the treatment of civilians. Proclaiming that the death of tens of thousands of civilians is nothing to be regretted is a standard operational procedure of imperialism and one which the Zionists will take to the ultimate limit.
Ralph Olmert's comments were also published by the Wall Street Journal on August 7th, as well as in Haaretz. So his comments have had wide distribution to the ruling class in the United States as well as in Europe. And if that weren't enough, the UN ambassador, the Israeli UN ambassador Dan Gillerman, last week stated that the Israeli military, quote, is sensitive about what it targets. But his real meaning came through loud and clear with his next comment, which he made to the press in New York at the United Nations headquarters. Quote, believe me, we have the capability, both militarily and technologically, to erase the whole of Lebanon. I repeat, we have the capability, both militarily and technologically, to erase the whole of Lebanon and to make sure that nobody can live there another day.
And here in the Daily News and Analysis, Justice Minister Chaim Ramon expands upon this. Ceasefire in place? No, we still have goals to achieve militarily. In fact, he stated, and again this was quoted in Yediot Aharonot, we will not leave Lebanon. We will not leave Lebanon. In fact, he stated that the presence of Israeli soldiers will never end unless there are soldiers capable of replacing them. And as DNA makes clear, the Israelis have no intention of accepting anyone able to replace them in Lebanon. Here on Ynet, again, Yedio Haranot, is an extremely important disclosure. The Yesha Rabbinical Council announced, in response to the Israeli Defense Forces attack in Kfar Kana, quote, according to Jewish law, there is no such thing as the innocence of the enemy. And I quote, all discussions on Christian morality are weakening the spirit of the army and the nation and costing us in the blood of our soldiers. Now, what's interesting about this declaration by the Talmudic Council of Rabbis and Torah Sages, known as Yesha, they represent the Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem, is that they made the declaration that it is not merely permissible, but it is desirable to target and exterminate non-Jewish civilians during wartime. I'm going to stop now and continue with this as we go for station break.
Greetings, this is Savion Glover, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York. Enjoy.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Rav Shonman
and Maya Shon. Our program today, the U.S. Apocalypse Now, the U.S. and Israeli Master Plan for the Middle East, Part 3, The Annihilation of Lebanon. Ralph?
I think what's important, I mean, when I read this stuff out of the Talmudic Council and Yesha and the organization of Orthodox rabbis that has been making these proclamations, I mean, it's as if you were reading some anti-Semitic site. No, this is not some anti-Semitic site. These are the formal declarations by the rabbis and Torah sages of Yesha, formally repeated and published in Haaretz and in Yedioth Ahronot, without comment, without response. Here is the continuation of their declarations. The council described as Christian morality international conventions and laws prohibiting the deliberate targeting of civilians. In fact, it called the targeting and killing of civilians, quote, a mitzvah, unquote, a good deed. Indeed, they took, quote, deep satisfaction at the Qana massacre, the massacre which occurred on the 31st of July, which resulted in the death of 60 Lebanese, 37 of them children and infants. They proclaimed this as something not merely acceptable, but desirable. And when Israeli officials apologized for the carnage, the rabbis and Talmudic sages, who argued that Israel should never apologize for killing civilians, cited halacha, or Jewish religious law, in a declaration that there is no such thing as civilians and innocents. In a letter to Shaul Mofaz, defense minister, these rabbis who represent mainstream Orthodox Judaism wrote, killing civilians is a normal thing, and the Israeli army should not hesitate to kill non-Jewish civilians. The Christian principle of turning the other cheek does not concern us. We will not be impressed by those who prefer the lives of our enemies to our lives. The letter is signed by dozens of rabbis, including Chaim Druckman, a former Knesset member who heads a large religious youth movement known as the B'nai Akiva Society. Other signatories to this declaration include Eliza Mahlamed, head of the West Bank Religious College, Yavol Sharlo, the head of the Talmudic College of Petah Tikva, which combines Talmudic studies with active military service, and Dov Lior, the rabbi of Kiryat Arba, adjacent to Hebron. And here is his further statement. 1,000 non-Jewish lives are not worth a Jew's fingernail. Here we have the lunatic, fanatical, logic of the blood. This is not the blood libel, brothers and sisters. This is the Zionist logic of the blood, rooted in a putative biblical rationale and justification.
Yes, Ralph. People think of Joshua and Jericho, that Joshua symbolizes the great resistance of the people. In fact, if you go to the Bible, the Old Testament, and you actually read the biblical passage itself, it goes like this. Joshua 6:20, quote, "Then the people cried out, and still the trumpets blew, till every ear was deafened by the shouting and the clangor, and all at once the walls fell down flat. And they took the city, and all that was in it they slew, sparing neither man nor woman, neither youth nor age. Even cattle and sheep and asses were put to the sword." End quote.
That is the context for the Zionist plan of ethnic cleansing from Palestine to Lebanon to the Arab East. Olmert, no limitations on the IDF. That's the headline in Haaretz of August 7th. And in relation to that, Olmert and Peretz, who met the defense officials Monday, we've referred to their full declarations. But here is the specific meaning of what the general staff told Haaretz, that Israel plans to destroy the strategic infrastructure throughout Lebanon. Everything that moves, we will hit. We are in a process of renewed escalation. We will continue hitting everything that moves, and we shall destroy the strategic civilian infrastructure. And that is the context, Maya, in which the statement was made. At the end of the story, Lebanon will be dark for years.
Ralph, let's look at some of this death, devastation, annihilation of Lebanon. Tanya Nasser, writing from Beirut, live from Lebanon, August 4th, 2006. Hers is one of the many blogs that have appeared on the internet, and I thought hers was particularly evocative. At 7 a.m. this morning, Tanya writes, "The enemy's airstrike got us out of our beds, devastated. The Israeli Air Force hit the Malmsteen Bridge, which is around 500 meters away from my house. The ceiling felt like it was going to collapse over our heads. Less than 30 minutes later, while I was standing on my balcony, still overwhelmed by the first bombardment, another strike hit the Casino du Liban Bridge right before my eyes. And in the hour that followed, they hit the bridges in this chronology. The Mamertin Bridge, the Casino Bridge, the Halak Bridge, complete destruction, and Madfun Bridge, not to mention the rest of the bridges that connect Mount Lebanon, Beirut to the south, and the Bekaa." That's Tanya Nasser writing from Beirut, live from Lebanon, August 4th, 2006. Reuters reported August 4th, bridge bombing paralyzes Lebanon aid pipeline. The Israeli jets, referring to the destruction of their three bridges on the main coastal highway linking Beirut to Syria, stalled an 8-truck convoy carrying food, shelter material, and other aid to an estimated 900,000 Lebanese displaced by the three-week-old war. The Lebanese government has now raised that figure to 1 million Lebanese. Astrid van Genderinden Stort, senior information officer for the UN High Commissioner of Refugees, said the bombing had shut down the major relief pipeline for supplies traveling to the hardest hit areas in the south. The bridge at Marmaltein, just north of Beirut, was split along its center by a huge crater, which partially engulfed a crushed shell of a minivan. Further north, another lay stretched out in the valley it once spanned. "The whole road is gone," Genderin Stort said.
Well, my CNN's report is very clear with respect to this devastation. After bombing the last land routes into Beirut, effectively totally cutting off the Lebanese capital from any relief, Israel has issued a statement that the attacks were designed to thwart Syria. The airstrikes continued early Saturday in Beirut and Tyre, the destruction of village after village. And here we have the president, Emil Lahoud, describing what was taking place. "Israel is starving the country." Christian Batiom of the World Food Program told the Associated Press, "Israel has cut Lebanon's umbilical cord."
Ralph, the reason they're saying that is that 80% of everything consumed in Lebanon is imported. Throughout the years, the destruction through the guise of imperialism, fostering a civil war with the Zionist assassination of Maruf Saad, a leader of the Sunni Muslims in the south, that precipitated the civil war, a very long and devastating civil war.
He was the leader of the Fishermen's Union. He was assassinated. He was the leader of the Sunni Muslims. His son, Mustafa Saad, our dear friend, we stayed at the home of Mustafa Saad on the edge of Sidon. We were overlooking the schoolyard where the Israelis, who had been rounding up everybody from 7 to 70, was hanging people by their wrists from basketball poles. And without going further into this, the devastation in Ain al-Helwa and in Sidon, the Zionists set a bomb in Mustafa's house, the plate glass window, cut off the leg of his wife, killed his daughter, put him into coma, and blinded him. That is the state terror visited upon anybody who dares to organize and represent their own population in a country targeted for annihilation.
As I mentioned, 80% of everything consumed in Lebanon is imported. So cutting off the roads, establishing a blockade where no oil or foodstuff can come in through the Mediterranean is starving the peoples of Lebanon. And then to break all the roads means there's no transportation of any of the aid, as the UN Commissioner on Refugees has stated. But also the industrialists have noted 95% of all industry in Lebanon has ground to a halt. At least 45 large factories have been hit by the airstrikes, according to a list compiled by Lebanese businessmen. On the list are factories for furniture, medical products, textiles, paper, and a milk plant. And the Procter & Gamble warehouse in Beirut, when it was bombed, damage of $20 million of stock. As I mentioned, 94% of industry has ground to a halt, according to the Association of Lebanese in Industrialists. At this time, quote, the Lebanese factories cannot bring in the raw materials and fuel shipments that they need for producing the goods, especially food and medicine, that the Lebanese population and the displaced urgently need, the association wrote in an appeal for support from chambers of commerce throughout the world. It is so devastating that the president of the Lebanese Economic Organization, Adnan Asser, has stated explicitly that Israel is destroying the infrastructure as well as the basic sectors of the economy.
The Boston Globe on August 5th. Weeks of bombing leave a nation in ruins. The human toll has been catastrophic enough, with over 900 Lebanese killed. Now, let me be clear about this 1,900 figure. That does not include those buried alive. That does not include those wounded who never survive, because the hospitals are destroyed, the ambulances are targeted, the food is cut off, the medicines are unavailable, the roads do not exist. How many thousands have already died from the devastation across the south of Lebanon who don't make it into these official figures? The human toll. The bombing campaign, the Boston Globe goes on, has reduced the nation's infrastructure to a shambles, setting back painstaking and costly reconstruction after 18 years of occupation and the decades of Israeli attacks. The bridges, the seaports, the fuel depots, the nation's airports, the ports, the border crossings, the major national highways have been destroyed, over $2 billion in damage. The Israeli warplanes have destroyed all the key bridges on the country's last major land route to Syria. Indeed, the Lebanon Prime Minister stated that the offensive on Lebanon has taken such an enormous toll on human life and infrastructure that it has totally ravaged our country and utterly shattered our economy. Indeed, the bombing campaign, according to Israel, is cutting off all supply routes. The bombing continues, and the existing damage has produced a daunting list of repairs, says the Boston Globe. It has devastated the network of highways. It is, quote, particularly devastating to southern Lebanon, where 10% of the country's population had lived and has been driven out. Every road in the south has been cratered by bombs. The villages have been razed by shells and bombs. Not a single bridge has been left standing over the Litani. Only four-wheel drive vehicles strong enough to forge the river can pass the Litani. In fact, the Lebanese south has been cut off from beyond the Litani. All commerce to the south flowed through this north-south artery. Lebanon's economy, highly centralized, Once people traveling regularly to Beirut for everything from work to health care to shopping eliminated, fuel shortage is epidemic, major cities without electricity, power supplies entirely cut, Lebanon has been destroyed. And that, in the Boston Globe, begins only to intimate the nature of this operation.
And Ralph, aside from destroying the infrastructure, razing entire villages, what we have also is the inability to care for the wounded, not only with the blockading of medicine. The hospitals have been targeted. An article from the Associated Press, this one by Zeinat Karam, Friday, August 4th, Israel blockade against Lebanon tightens. One hospital in the heart of Beirut will stop taking new patients while another in the south, full of war wounded, expects to close soon. Shortages of medicines and generator fuel are acute across this battered country, and supplies of milk, rice, and sugar are low. Now with the Israeli bombing of the last highway to the outside world, more shortages are sure to come. It's a real catastrophe, warned Dr. Rassan Hamoud, who runs a 320-bed hospital in the southern port of Sidon, and we may have to shut within 10 days. The Hamoud Hospital is filled with wounded from the fighting in the southern Lebanon. It's already operating on dwindling medical supplies and acute fuel shortages. Dr. George Tomey, acting president of AUB, that's the American University of Beirut, said the university's medical center, which is one of the premier medical centers of the Middle East, will stop receiving new patients as of Monday, except for emergency cases. We have reached a critical stage with shrinking medical and gasoline supplies, and many of the hospital staff are too frightened to report to work, while others cannot even get to work.
And the hospitals have been destroyed by targeting, by bombing. But, Maya, here is the headline in Yedioth Ahronot, carried by Reuters as well, on the 7th of August. The IDF's next destination is Sidon. Flyers have been scattered across the area. Lebanese residents to flee north. Indeed, the warnings of the IDF in their flyers over Sidon: for your personal safety, leave. In your area, activity is being carried out, and the IDF will use full force starting very soon. For your own safety, you must leave the area immediately and move north. Whoever stays endangers their lives. Signed, the State of Israel. Quotes Yedioth Ahronot. 100,000 people live in Sidon, with another 100,000 refugees from the south. 200,000 people, something like 8% of the population of Sidon, is being told, you're next.
Right.
Here is Reuters. Let me just read this, Maya. Israel warns residents of Sidon, Leila Bassam, on August 5th. Israel stated on Saturday it planned to bomb Sidon and warned the inhabitants of the largest city of the south to leave. And indeed, the population of 100,000 swollen by refugees has been told, leave or be destroyed. A local official in Sidon, who asked not to be named, said Hezbollah's Shiite guerrillas were not even present in this mainly Sunni Muslim city. Sidon has been targeted for devastation in its turn.
Ralph, in fact, on Monday, the Zionist state stated that anything caught moving after 10 p.m. Monday evening would be targeted. That's after 10 p.m. Monday evening. Last week, we described the launching by Israel of Mark 84 bombs called the Hammer, the Mark 84, on Qana. Remember this 2,500-pound bomb destroyed the apartment building in Qana, and the fragment with GBU-28 was discovered by reporters and reported in the Guardian newspaper in England. What we neglected to say, but was noted by the Israeli Committee for Middle East Free from Atomic, Biological, and Chemical Weapons in Tel Aviv, with their press release August 5th, is that this bunker-busting bomb, the GBU-28, not as large as the bunker-buster bomb, the 5,000-ton bomb, but the 2,500-ton bomb, the hammer bomb used throughout Lebanon by the Zionist state, these bombs contain depleted uranium that will spread in the form of a toxic and radioactive dust, which will enter the lungs and bones and is especially harmful to babies, young children, pregnant women, which affects the people of southern Lebanon for generations to come.
Chemical weapons, white phosphorus, the cluster bombs and the napalm and the radioactive weapons of depleted uranium. Akiva Orr, the founder of Matzpen, who was describing to us in a telephone conversation and email today, not merely the depleted uranium that was unleashed here, but he was describing the demonstrations that are unfolding in Israel. Thousands of people, they are Israeli Arabs, the Palestinian people who were not driven out of Israel in 48. And anti-Zionist Israeli Jews, anti-war Jews who have been demonstrating but surrounded by police and surrounded by mobs of hostile people, nonetheless demonstrating in relation to the depleted uranium that was, remember last week's program, brothers and sisters, was called The Meaning of Kana. Here is an article, a follow-up on Kana. Israeli newspaper reports that the army lied about Kana. In its lead story, the Hebrew edition of Haaretz reported that the Israeli Defense Forces claim that Hezbollah missile launchers and Hezbollah fighters were near the building in Kana, which they shelled early Sunday morning, was false. The newspaper disclosed that the IDF had already decided to attack houses in a specific radius of the place, that there were no rockets, that there was no Hezbollah, that the Israeli military sources that reported the deaths in Kana as caused by an accidental explosion were totally fabricated, and according to the Haaretz article, the Israeli Air Force has admitted that it targeted the population of Kana, as they had before in 1996. Here is, in fact, the follow-up report in Interpress News Service. Red Cross workers and residents of Kana, where bombing killed at least 60 people, have told IPS that no Hezbollah rockets were launched from that city, that Hezbollah was not present in Kana. This is a fabrication. They bombed it. We heard the screams of the women, children. They were crying for help. Then 1 minute after the first bomb, they struck again. And after that, they struck again more as more bombs fell around the village. This, clearly, as the press and the Israeli press itself has established, was a pre-designed devastation, a war crime, a destruction of the population. Kana, as in Kana, so in Bet Shabil, so in Hamarun, so in Atarun, so in Sur and Tyre, and so soon to be in Sidon. And here is the Independent on August 4th, 2006, traumatized and afraid. 300,000 children who want to go home. I don't want to die. I want to go to school, said Jamal, a four-year-old, scarred by the Israeli bombing of his country. Home for Jamal is a displacement center in the southern town of Jezzine. The family fled for fear of their lives. These are the voices of the dispossessed, the hundreds of thousands of children whose world has changed forever in seconds. Mummy, what is a massacre? Another child asked. About 300,000 Lebanese children displaced after the three-week war, a third of the number have abandoned their homes, living in open-air camps, no food, no sewage disposal, no medicine, no care.
We will continue with this in our further programs, but I want to end with the comments of Saeed Hassan Nasrallah on August 3rd, in which he stated about the Zionist attack. You cannot eliminate the movements of the honest resistance in Palestine. You can never do so because the resistance is not a regular army. And he's also referring to the resistance in Lebanon. He goes on, the resistance is not a regular state. Instead, the resistance is a nation that possesses faith, volition, and self-confidence, as well as loves martyrdom and rejects indignity and humiliation. No one can defeat this nation. They can kill its men, women, children, and elderly. They can destroy its buildings and residents on top of their heads. But they cannot defeat it or end the war against it. This is because this war will renew with each rising generation, with each new birth, with each fury, with each emotion, with each act, faith, and with us. And I can confirm to you that the resistance will never be broken or defeated.
From Lebanon to Syria to Egypt to Arabia to the peoples of the region, the day of resistance has only begun.
This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Apocalypse Now, the U.S. and Israeli Master Plan for the Middle East, Part 3, The Annihilation of Lebanon, will be on our website, www.takingaim.info. You can reach us at takingaim@pacbell, that's PACBELL.net. This program was recorded on August 8, 2006. Piki piki no bi ai, nuna ramato piki na wado wow. Piki piki no bi ai, da da.